Hey guys. Hi. You all in the front row, you look excited. Wish I'd have brought presents or something. I have brought something with me. It's the gospel. Amen. It'd change your life, right? So what Sean's talking about is that message of identity. Who knows those truths have always been here? Who knows that what Jesus accomplished, he always accomplished. There's something about Paul said, pray for me that I preach the gospel clearly as I ought. I know I went a whole long time in my life and heard a lot of things about God, but never heard anything with understanding enough to actually transform me. In fact, I heard things so in part that I thought it was the whole thing. So I don't know about you, but me growing up, anybody that's, you know, been around a little bit, it was really God sent his son to forgive me because I was a sinner. I already knew that. I definitely knew that. Not being sarcastic, I knew that. And he paid a price on the cross through his blood to forgive me of that sin. And I pray that prayer and I get my name in a book called Life. And then when the trumpet blows, I go to heaven. That's what I grew up with. I didn't know anything else. I didn't know that he wanted to live in me and love through me. I didn't know that he wanted to shine through me, to think through me, to be in me and be one with me. I didn't understand that I could have relationship and intimacy with God, that God could be more than a belief system, a confession, a theology, a theory, or a doctrine. I didn't understand that he wanted to even be my friend, and I found that in John 15. That's amazing that he's that personal. And it's incredible because we worship him, we sing, we worship him, we pray to him. He probably ought to be that real to us. You can't let the things we do take the place of knowing him. Knowing him is going to transform your life. Like a lot of people live out of their knowing about God. So they're testy. They argue over it. They drink coffee and debate scripture. That's a good sign you're really not walking that close to him. I'm just saying. It just is. Because knowledge will puff you up. But love edifies. I know people that can quote the Bible. They know the answer to every question. They know the end of every scripture that you're quoting. But they don't have the love of God in them. They might be mean. They might be nasty sometimes. They might just think knowledge can puff you up, guys. But love edifies. So when Sean's talking about this identity, what happened to me, and I'm just kind of coming at this just the way it's in my heart right now for the room. When this identity thing got real in my life, all of a sudden I started, and this is good for the young folks, so I'm glad you're right here in the front. Because your whole life, come on, be real with me, you and me, our whole life, we're trying to find out who we are along the way, figure out who we are. Somebody can make us or break us. One person, there could be a significant person in your life. They can absolutely make it in your life, make you and put you over the top and you're happy and go like it. But that same person can crush you because you're drawing everything you are from that person. You have expectations on people your whole life. Be real with me. Your whole life growing up, you have expectations. They're unspoken, but they're there. So people can hurt you without even trying, without even being intentional. They can let you down because your hope is in people because we're trying to fit. We're trying to survive. We're trying to be okay. Some of us are looking for value. We're looking for a reason for being. There's a lot of that going on in a lot of us a lot of the time. And everybody in this room understands that from the time you were born, that was a reality. Like you needed love. You needed attention. You needed somebody to build you up, to say something nice, to encourage you, to make you feel like you fit, like you belonged, like you were valuable. From the time you can remember, you needed that. You're not going to talk me out of this. I know by now. I'm 60 years old. I lived all through this and I've watched everybody else go through this. There's a reason. When we were born from our mothers, we were born into Adam. The Bible talks about it in Romans 5, really clear. Genesis is the story. We were born into Adam. That was separation from God. That was everything that God made man to be lost. When Adam was born, or when we were born into Adam, we weren't anything God intended us to be. We were a product of what Adam became after separation from God. You got to understand this. So identity crisis is huge. Fitting in is huge. God said in Genesis to Adam, who knows that God said this to Adam in Genesis? He said, the day you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the day you surely die. You know he said that because you said that confidently. But when he ate the tree, he didn't die. Now we know death entered the earth. Romans 5 teaches that. But he said, the day you eat the tree, you surely die. But he didn't die. Death entered the earth. That's different. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Sounds like he should have fell over dead. Sounds like it should have been like, what, Sleeping Beauty? Only dead. Not waiting for a prince. Dead. Isn't that how Sleeping Beauty went? Sleep, wait for the prince, right? Isn't that the story? I remember that growing up. Vaguely. It rung a bell. I know it was fruit. It was apple. Okay, so if God made Adam to be something, if God made man with intention, if Adam was something in God, and the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die, but he didn't fall over dead, but he got separated from God, then I'm realizing that everything God created him to be got lost through sin and separation. Stay with me tonight. I talk about this a lot, but if you've never really heard me cry this out, it's very important because this is what I didn't understand. Like, you can go to church your whole life, be sincere. You can be a giver. You can serve in a ministry, but miss the why behind the cross. You can actually miss the renewing of your mind, getting all things new. You can actually miss truly calling old things dead and putting on Christ and calling all things in Christ new. Like, being renewed in the spirit of your mind gets missed all the time. So people stay lonely, survival driven, insecurity, low esteem, trying to fit in, wanting to be liked, little humor just to get noticed, smokescreen stuff, stuff that will never have you solid when you're laying in bed alone or looking in the mirror in the morning. This is what I'm talking about identity. You know how many people have low esteem? You know how many people don't even like who they are? You'd be amazed in the church if we go around the room that people, if you'd really get a true assessment of how people see themselves, they wouldn't see themselves in and through Christ. They'd see themselves for the past, for memories, for relationships, for memories. They wouldn't see themselves for Christ. It's ironic because the second commandment that's like the first, the two greatest, the second's like the first. Love God with everything you are, your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and love your neighbor as your... It's ironic how many people don't even like themselves. How are they going to love their neighbor as themselves? Your neighbor's saying, don't try to fulfill that scripture. Get a revelation. See, because here's the thing. The way you see you, ultimately, is going to be the way you see others. If you're hard on yourself, if you're self-condemned, if you're nitpicky, if you're fault-finding, if you're taking tests that God didn't put on your desk, and you're grading the scores, then you're looking at people that way, because it's how you see yourself and you love your neighbor as yourself. Two greatest commandments is love God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, your mind. Well, nobody loves God first. You see, he first loved you. That's designed people to take away the insecurity, to take away the need. All of a sudden, I realized, man, I was living life apart from God in another realm. I was being homeschooled in the wrong home. The wisdom of man was my tutor, and the way that seemed right to a man was the highest wisdom I had, and it leads to death. And now Christ comes and says, hey, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out of the darkness into the light. Stand before me and be righteous. You're a whole lot more than you've ever understood. That's what the cross is saying to me, and I'm passionate about it. He put security and strength in my life. I'm not trying to be anybody outside of him. I'm not trying to get affirmation and accolade. It's crazy. People put you on YouTube. I get invited to places. People treat me nice. Most people. Hey, hi, good to see you. Every once in a while, somebody thinks I'm a heretic. But most people treat me pretty nice. I didn't wake up to be treated nice. I woke up to be more like him. I woke up to walk in love and to walk in the light. I didn't wake up for you to do one thing right to me. Not one thing. So you can't break my heart anymore. See, I get this. See, I get it. You can't hurt me. You can't break my heart. I don't have one expectation on you. I did not wake up to be loved by you. I woke up to be loved. And I'm free for 27 years, and you can't talk me out of it. And I'm getting a little flaky trying to express it, but I'm trying to be calm and communicate it. Because it's real. It's real. It's not a Christian thing. It's not a phrase. It's a position of the heart. It's a place of commitment. It's a place that you give yourself to. All of a sudden, you realize you're not needy anymore. I don't need to find out who I am. I found out in Christ. I was created for God's image. I was made for God's image. I was made to walk in the light. I was made to walk in love. I was made to show mercy and to make peace. I wasn't made to be frustrated, angry, disappointed, regretful, jealous, pride, competitive. I wasn't made to be discouraged, disheartened, ticked off, unforgiving, unloving, and unkind. Not one of those things is in him. But all of those things have been in us. Why? We were born into Adam. And you must be born. And unfortunately, we turn born again into a change of destination instead of a transformation of life. All of a sudden, the cross is all about changing my destiny instead of changing me. Come on, I'm just done living in the flesh. I'm done being bummed out. I'm getting so excited talking about this. I'm just done being hurt. Well, that really hurt. Well, I wish they didn't say that. Well, how come? Well, what? And all of a sudden, we're showing people that one person can dictate my disposition. One person can decide who I am and how I am, but it ain't Jesus. And we say he's Lord, and he's the one that governs and decides our life. How come one person is given that much power? Because we have identity crisis, and we're finding ourselves through each other and not through him. That's why our marriages aren't flourishing like they could. That's why we say, I love you, and then have tension and animosity and cop out by calling it normal and saying everybody has their moments. You ought to run that by Jesus and see if he has those moments. You ought to see if you're following him or common knowledge or rhetorical, psychological understanding. Or are you following Jesus? He said, your will be done on earth as it is in when he's praying to the Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, your will be done on as it is in. Your will be done on. No animosity in heaven. No unforgiveness. Why are we trying to forgive? If we're trying to forgive, we're in unforgiveness. The only reason we have the grip for unforgiveness is because we were born into the lie. Heaven doesn't even have a grip for unforgiveness. Or you wouldn't be sitting here with the Spirit of God in you if you're saved. Yay. No animosity, no jealousy, no nitpicking, no remembrance of evil. None of that's in heaven. Your will be done on. He says, don't look here, don't look there when you're looking for the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is right on the inside of you. Right on the inside of you. The kingdom of God's right on the inside of you. And go preach saying, the kingdom of God is here. Where is it? I'm looking at it. She just has to make sure she understands it. That we don't get good at going to church and fail to become her. That we don't learn how to do church without being church. Come on, it's simple. God made man with intention. It's real. I found this out 27 years ago. I'm on fire with this thing. Like, you can't change my mind. Like, I've lived it for 27 years, so that's not forever, but that's long enough to tell me. And you haven't been in my shoes, but I have. You haven't faced my challenges. You faced your challenges, but I faced them with this truth. And oh my. And don't think it's strange when you're going through things because your brothers all over the world are going through the same things, Peter said. So don't take it personal, don't justify, and don't bow out. Don't come up with a reason to not look like Jesus. Well, you don't know what I've been going through. Well, you don't know how long it's been. Well, you don't know the season I'm in. Come on, that's all the phrases I hear amongst us. What's any of that have to do with Christ crucified and raised from the dead? What's that have to do with the Spirit of God living in you and you walking in truth and walking in the light? I'll tell you what it has to do with it. We think we're saved for our sake without realizing it. It's not evil. We just don't. We hear a gospel that benefits us and serves us and protects us and provides for us without changing us. We got to make sure we're not living that gospel. If we're not living changed, who's going to change? Who's even going to be challenged if we're not living changed? Who wouldn't want to be a part of something that just blesses me and fills my basket? No, I want my heart filled with truth. I want him on the inside of me. Hey, my vats and barns, they'll be as full as they need to be. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And whatever I need to walk this out is going to be here. I am not pursuing him for me. Listen, please, I'm saying this with passion. You cannot be a Christian for you. You have to be a Christian for his great name. If you're a Christian for you, you'll be whatever you will be. And you'll pray for you. You'll have a needs list, and Jesus will seem impersonal, and you'll even question him and wonder where he's at when you need him most and why he didn't this and so, and you'll have all that in your life. And then circumstances in life will decide who you are and how you are. And you have questions towards God. And if you have questions towards God, you don't have intimacy with God. Are you with me? Man, I'm coming out swinging. It feels like I'm intense. Am I intense? Are you okay? Come on, it's just Christianity. I'm not preaching anything new. This is it's always been here in the book. Jesus said, if any of you are coming after me, you got to do something. We just sang, we're giving it all. I'm giving it all. That's not, let that be a rhetorical church phrase. I'm giving it all. What's giving it all mean? It means I'm denying myself. I'm picking up my cross and I'm following Jesus. You're what? I'm denying myself, picking up my cross and following Jesus. Why? I mean, just go to church, man. Pray the prayer, get saved, get forgiven. We're still people. We're always going to sin, brother. We're going to have our moments, brother. Sometimes you just hash it out at home. You know, that's how things go, man. You just get over it and you keep on going. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says deny myself. You know why? Because God never made us for ourselves. He made us for his image. And what got lost through Adam and sin and separation and what died was the image of God in man. That's what died. The awareness, the presence, and the expression of God in man was lost through sin and separation. And you know who God is? God is love. So when Adam's in God and God's in Adam, is man have a deficit if he's in love? If he's one with the source of love, does he have a deficit? No way. So God created man in his image, so God created man to love. To love. And when man got separated from God through sin, guess what he became of? In need of love. He got cut off from the source of love. Even though God still loved him, he wasn't in union with him. So he wasn't fulfilled by him. So he was in need of love. So what was created to love became in desperate need of love. Through sin. And then every man got born into Adam, the need for love. That's why I explained our blight when we're all born, from young to old. We all know this. You needed love. You needed affection. You needed support. You needed stability. You needed somebody to value you at a very young age. You were aware of that at a very young age. You needed to be accepted. Why? We were living apart from love. Most of us didn't have half of the things we needed on the list. That's why people talk about the past so much. Because that's the thing where they found their identity. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you don't know how it was like when I was growing up. Well, you don't know what happened to me. Listen, the gospel wants to render all those things useless concerning your identity. Do you know what happened to him? Do you know what he's been through? Do you know who you are in him? Do you know how you're seen in the sight of God right now? I can show you in Colossians, if you believe it, you're holy, blameless, and above reproach. You're accepted and beloved. You're clean, pure, and holy in his sight. I can show it to you in scripture. Man, that gets your hair popping. If you believe it, or do you still believe what so-and-so did say, or what so-and-so didn't say, or what so-and-so was supposed to say and didn't say, and you were hoping they'd say? Does that matter more than this? Come on. You can't let nothing matter more than this, because only here is where you find you. Watch, I'm talking graphic and plain tonight, loud and clear. Look, the only place you'll ever truly find who you are is in him. That's why everything else has been so and psychological and moody and feelings and okay and not okay. And how you doing? Well, hanging in there. Keep me in prayer. That's a normal response. You ask a Christian how they're doing, it's not a good answer. Two biggest challenges and keep me in prayer. Oh, I'm being real. I've been around this 27 years. I'm not mad at us. I'm trying to help. You ask a Christian how they're doing, they'll tell you the two biggest things they're going through and say, please keep me in prayer. Which means they're identifying with life instead of the giver of it. And they're using God to get through life instead of manifest life. Could you imagine, Jesus? How you doing, Jesus? Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. I mean, I'm preaching as hard as I can, but people really don't want to hear it. I mean, I'm the one that they were created through, and they don't even know me, duh. I mean, you ought to hear their thoughts. God lets me hear their thoughts. It ain't cool. It's challenging. They're bickering, debating. They think I'm a heretic. I mean, I healed that guy the other day. They said I'm Belial, the devil himself. I mean, it's been challenging. Keep me in prayer if you think of me. Could you picture that? Could you picture Jesus just sitting on the Mount of Olives at daybreak, just bummed out? Jesus, just bummed out. You can't picture that? Good, because it'll never happen. So he's just sitting there, just kind of bummed out. Nobody can see me in the back. So he's just sitting there, kind of bummed out. Peter comes up. Hey, Lord, what's the matter? You don't look, oh, don't preach to me, Peter. You don't even know. You're not in my shoes. Just leave me alone. Well, but Lord, oh, but Lord, nothing. You don't even know what I've been going through. Every day, thronging me. They could care less what I have to say. They just want me. They multiplied the food the other day. They tracked me down. They just want another meal. They're just using me. They just want to use me for what they can get from me. They don't want to hear a word I have to say. And Peter, you're kind of fitting in there sometimes too. I can tell. And I'm just not sure where I even stand today. If I feel like going out and getting thronged and mobbed by a bunch of needy, self-centered, self-focused, selfish people. In fact, you guys just go out and spend a day. I'm going to hang out here. I'm going to hang back. I just ain't feeling it. Isn't it amazing? We laugh at that because it's silly when you put those words in Jesus' mouth, but they've been in all of ours. But yet he didn't teach us to think that way or speak that way. So where did we get it? Where did we get all these adverse feelings and thoughts and emotions that haven't produced life, that gave you permission to feel sorry for yourself, to feel broken, to feel hurt, to feel unfulfilled, to feel empty, to feel lonely, even to feel abused? Come on. I know we've been through some stuff, and there's people in this room, you've been through stuff that we haven't even been close to through, but we're not comparing stories among stories because we don't find ourselves in the stories. You say, well, I was touched wrong. I wonder if I was. See, there's just... So now it's who was touched more, who was touched worse. But who was touched right? What's it matter what happened to me when I was 4? What's it matter that my dad was an alcoholic and I never heard him say, I love you? What's it matter if my mom was sick 40 years and died? Now that Christ is on the inside of me and I understand why I'm alive. What does any of those things have to do with who I am in Christ? What's it matter if my brother just died in October, out of the blue, fell over dead in a store, and it was the last I saw his face when he left my yard? Am I going to miss him? I miss him worse now than then. But you can tell I haven't changed my mind about a thing. These are brief moments of light affliction when compared to the eternal weight of his glory when he comes. I am not a Christian to get through my day. I am a Christian to shine in the midst of it. I am not a Christian for things to go the way I'm hoping. I'm a Christian to look like Christ when they happen. And I'm going to be straight and strong with you with a smile. There's no other reason for being a Christian. No other. I've searched. There's no other. He said, you're the light of the world.
Well, I thought you were the light of the world, Lord.
I am. Now I'm handing you that baton. I'm going to go sit with the Father, and I'm putting myself in you. You are now the light of the world, so let your light so shine before men. Okay, so if you were the enemy, what would you do? Let people go to church, just make sure they don't shine. Let people quote scripture, just make sure they don't shine. Let them do all night worship. Just make sure they don't shine. Ah, let them go on mission trips and even feed the hungry and send some money to the orphanage. Make them feel good about their Christianity. Just make sure they don't shine. Make sure they're still jealous and proud, judgmental, biased. Make sure they still remember the bad and the evil and stereotype one another. And even though they're all singing in the room, they just aren't shining. A little discouraged, wondering why they're still at this job. Why didn't God get him a new job? He knows how I can't stand the way the boss treats me. What did I do wrong to deserve this? Is he punishing me? See, when you're self-centered, you're not shining. When you're frustrated, you're not shining. When you're discouraged, you're not shining. When you're in anxiety, you're not shining. When you're angry, you're not shining. When you're ho-hum, you're not shining. When you're whatever, you're not shining. You see the strategy of hell on the earth? Get people to sound like Jesus, to quote Jesus, to attend in his name, just make sure they don't shine. Make sure they justify their disposition and their story is well set in their mind. And you wouldn't be on me about my countenance if you'd have been in my shoes. And if you knew what they did to me, you would have never. Come on, we've heard that our whole life. And all of a sudden, we got reasons for being the way we are. And we defend it with natural knowledge and never release faith to let our lives be found in Christ. You might say that's super insensitive, but I guess I'm 60 and I've been through a lot of stuff too. So I'm taking my risks. Now, if I'd have had a rosy, dandy, fancy life and nobody had ever said anything outside of good to me, I guess I'd probably have to watch how I'm talking. But I guess seeing that I'm 60 and I could probably go through a whole list of things that I wish would have never happened but don't change the truth, I feel qualified to talk plain. Yeah? Who has to treat me right for me to be all right? Well, I'm going to stretch you a little. My wife doesn't even owe me anything. Because I'm not going to let her outweigh who I am in Christ. And I'm not going to ever let what my wife isn't seeing decide what I am seeing if he's the light of the world. Come on. So if she's having a trying day or a testy day, which she's not, I'm just using that as an example because most of us in the church say the people closest to us can hurt us the most. But that puzzles me because they're the ones we say we love. And when I look at love, it doesn't seek its own and takes no account of the wrong done to it. So now I'm confused. So I think those people become significant and they're the ones we need. Because we're finding identity through them instead of loving. Are you all right? Come on, how do you deny yourself and still live that way? What's deny yourself even mean? It means you were never made for you. You were made for his great image, for his great life. To walk in the light as he's in the light. You say, did you drive all the way up here to correct us and spank us? No, to cheer you on and tell you who you are and why the Spirit of God's on the inside of you. I got to move this a little. Ooh, I hear me now. No wonder I was yelling. No, thank you. If that turns again on me, I might just grab the handle because these things, it's been good. It just moved back a little, I guess. Thanks, man. Just do something. Cartwheels or something. Get my attention. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
You don't feel beat up, I hope.
No.
Challenged, maybe? Yeah? Challenged is good. I love being challenged. See, I don't want the way that seems right to a man to not be challenged in my life. If the way I'm thinking and the way I'm believing isn't encouraging my heart and producing life, if it's giving me a reason to be bummed out, it can't be the Lord. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. So you know how you'll sit and you'll think about something, you'll think long enough it'll make you sad, or you think so long enough and you'll think of the worst way you could possibly think, and now you think, oh, I bet they hate me, or oh, I'm just so... And you know, and all of a sudden you just get yourself in this insecure place, like, right? It can't be the Lord. So even if the facts are true, there has to be a way to assess it and process it to come out of it in life. Are you with me? Because if we're just subject to the facts, well, then the way everybody treats us. So if you're in, anybody in third grade, I use third grade a lot. Anybody in third grade here? No? Yeah, back there. Woo, I got some third grade. No? No, you're not in third grade. I use third grade a lot because that's an age where, I don't know, you just start changing a little bit in from awareness and innocence when you get to second, third grade. But watch this. You're in third grade and you wear something to school that you don't think nothing of because in your home, it's just innocent and it's been some and it's cool, but you got it on and you wear it and they think it's too young. Your schoolmates, because they're growing and maturing, they're third graders. And then you go to school and they see what you're wearing and they start laughing at you. And they start laughing at what you're wearing. And you realize they ain't laughing with you. They ain't laughing at something you said. This happens to people. Our whole lives, we have memories like this of when this stuff happened to us. And you're in third grade and they're laughing at you. You're quote, friends and peers. And they're making fun of you. Well, you're faced with options. You're uncomfortable. You got options. You either smoke screen it and act like you don't care, even though you're crushed. You try to change that to get them to like you. You get hurt, you get introverted, or you get hard and you're a fighter and you say, I don't care, and the next person laughs and go punch you in the mouth. But no matter how you respond, it's not you. It's survival. It's you in the moment without truth. Do you see how it happens? So at a very young age, we're nothing more than however we respond to how it unfolds because we have no other answers. Because we're self-conscious people. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, I need you to do something first things first. I need you to deny yourself because living for yourself is the biggest problem on the planet. You living for you is the problem. When you were never made for you, you were made for my image. Come on, Jesus never said, pray this prayer so you can go to heaven. He said, follow me. We made up pray the prayer to go to heaven. It's actually only 80 or 90 years on the earth, the salvation prayer. I'm not against the salvation prayer. It can be a tool, but give people the whole story. You're not trying to just change their destination. You want them to get new life. What's it matter if they claim a new destination and they live the same? It's not the goal. It's not why he shed his blood. It's not why he put his life inside of people. It's so you could put off the old, put on the new. Are you with me? Come on, it's a big deal. It's important. So if he said, deny yourself. See, we think the biggest problem is politics or racial conflict or stuff. Biggest problem is every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for God's image. Every day. A worse problem is we're Christian now. We go to church, serve in ministries, and we're still self-centered because we're still getting hurt in church. We're still getting hurt by each other. And we're actually proving we don't understand what we committed to. And it's still all about us. Come on. This gospel's designed to bring peace to the ranks, a unity of faith where we're not all beating each other up. How can we be effective loving the world if we're hurt by one another? Well, I don't agree with them. Well, they shouldn't have this. Well, they should have known better. Well, they were saved longer than me. Well, I don't know, but I liked Pastor when they came, but they've been here 6 months and they're just different than they were 6 months ago. And then all of a sudden you change because you believe they changed. And then you get reduced to church shopping. And now you're out there looking for a place that suits you. And you're taking the same vulnerabilities with you. And after three of those, why even do church? Everybody's the same. Now your heart's jaded and hurt. And it's just been all about you the whole time. Come on, man, I'm talking real plain. I've been saved 27 years at the leadership level for 25 of them. And I've watched way too many people hurt. I've sat on plane after plane flight after plane flight with a person beside me say, I used to go to church. And then they tell me why they don't. And it's always a story. And it proves that we don't preach a clear gospel or sign up for the truth. We incorporate God into our life in hopes of a better one instead of give our lives to get a new one. I am not coming here hurt. I don't have church hurt. We're supposed to have compassion and mercy and understanding and wisdom. And even if somebody is really out of order, then we have the authority to try to talk to them because we love them. We're not mad at them. We actually care and believe they have a higher potential and they're deceived, so we can minister to them, not just try to tell them off. See, you don't even have authority to speak into people's lives unless you see the value of their lives. How will Holy Spirit go with your words and go into the heart of a person if you're just mad at them? Who's ever tried to talk things out from anger and it just blew up and got 10 times worse? Yeah? Because it ain't about being right. It's about righteous. Come on, I'm just, this little area. You said it, Sean. You said, wonder if we get this identity, it would change everything. Wonder if everyone in this room this weekend would just get convicted and step out in faith, just in their own personal heart, just step out in faith apart from everybody else and just say, you know what? I'm just laying down the gauntlet. I'm putting this thing to the test. I'm going to start praying and seeking God and talking this way. Nobody owes me a thing. I'm on the earth to shine and I want to manifest Christ. Holy Spirit, would you help me? Because I'm all in. Teach me what it means to deny myself. And if that thing sneaks up on me, feelings and emotions, man, show me in a minute so I can peel it off and keep you on. But nobody owes me a thing. Wonder if you just believe that in your marriage, that nobody owes you a thing. Wonder if you believe that in your family, your relationships, your workplace, that nobody owes you a thing and you owe no man anything but to love. Wonder if you actually live that way. Wonder if you actually woke up for one reason, to shine, to walk in love, to manifest Christ. Wonder if you didn't wake up to get a blessing, provision, protection. Listen, I have never prayed for protection, provision, and blessing. I have no memory of praying for any of those things in 27 years. I haven't even thought about them. And I feel so blessed, so provided for, and so protected, it's ridiculous. Yay. Now, I can tell the room feels weird when I say that, because we're prayer-driven. We're using prayer for self-centered things. Prayer is for all men, for those in authority, to preach the gospel clear. Prayer is for the move of God to take place and sweep the earth. It's not just ministry, 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 ministry. Hey, I need prayer. Hey, I got a bump and bruise. Hey, I feel this. Hey, I feel that. Hey, I just feel blocked. Hey, I feel this. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? That is never what prayer was intended for. But we've created a prayer-driven people, a ministry-crazed people that are trying to get something from God instead of become something because of Him. And if you don't change that motive, it's going to keep you aware of weakness. It's going to actually keep you in agreement with things need to change for you to be okay. What needs to change is your motive and your faith in what He created you for. I know this sounds very strong. It just sounds strong to me. But I'm convicted and convinced that it's helpful if we'll believe it. How is our lives going to impress the world around us unless we're just trying to talk them into a head nod so their name gets in a book called life and we call that a victory? Wonder if they see Christ in you and say, what must I do to be saved? Wonder if they see you lay down your life like Jesus. I don't even see any altar calls in the book of Acts. I don't even see any street corner bullhorn witnessing in the book of Acts. I just see men surrendered, living their lives, and unbelievers getting cut to the heart by their lives, their wisdom, and God in their life. And they're always saying, how can I get saved? What must I do to be saved? How can I be like you? People running to the believers, surrendering. Now we're out there trying to talk them in, calling it evangelism. Look, I'm not being mean and I'm not criticizing, but evangelism is you walking in the light, walking in love, staying consistent in your workplace and going there every day and doing your job unto the Lord, whether you're treated right or not. Not praying for a new job because you can't stand the one you're at. We just take that attitude to the next job. You don't escape, you transform. Yeah? People say, pray for me, I can get a new job. I can't stand the one I'm at. What do you mean you can't? Well, people, they just said, my boss is so, and I got to work beside Johnny, and it's F-bomb this, F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb. And you have no compassion for Johnny. You're at wit's end. You're out of patience, and you're mad that your boss is treating you wrong. So you want a new job. And then you go to the new job, and they're doing that there. Why? They're unsaved. They don't know. You're supposed to know something. I think, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, was quoted in my Bible. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And it was quoted when it sure looked like they knew what they were doing. It sure looked like they knew. Plans and schemes and 30 pieces of silver and meetings behind the scenes and probably a year of scheming. And the best love could say is forgive them. They're more than that. They're just deceived right now. And if they'd really see clear, they'd be living different. So have mercy on them, Father. That's all you hear from Jesus. Treated so unjustly. I mean, you know what we'd be doing? Well, we wouldn't even be doing anything. We wouldn't be carrying no cross. We wouldn't be letting them whip us for doing nothing wrong. We'd be calling an attorney and trying to have some kind of Supreme Court. They beat him till you couldn't recognize him for doing nothing wrong. Your Bible tells you that when they were done with him, he was marred more than anyone was ever marred by men. And all he did was bring good news and heal and deliver from demons and multiply food. And my goodness, he raised the dead and they wanted to kill him more. You raise the dead and they want to kill you more, you'd probably stop thinking about raising the dead. You'd probably just get bitter at people and say, I'll let them all die then. Yeah. Could you imagine Jesus being one of us going to Golgotha and all of a sudden the bells ring and it clicks and he says, what am I doing? If these people, Father, hit me with one more stick, I'm telling you, it's on. I'm done with this thing. Look what they've done to me. I'm carrying this cross. Are you kidding me? Barabbas? I can't get it out of my mind, Lord. They released Barabbas back there and said, crucify me. Barabbas, he kills a man. I raise the dead. He calls this conspiracy. I'm trying to bring peace. And they want to kill me. These people are loco, man. If they didn't get changed by now, they ain't going to change. And I ain't carrying this thing out, and they ain't hitting me with one more stick. Come on, there ain't nobody in this room would even been close to that far. You say, well, the only reason he could do that is because he's Jesus. The only reason he could do it is because he's love. Don't mix it up. Don't make him something you can't follow. Religion would love you to just say, well, it's because he was Jesus. And true faith understands it's because he was love. And I found plenty of scriptures that tell you and me that we can love like he loved. That we can walk in love, we can live in love, we can become love. Oh, I got plenty of scriptures. I got 1 John 2, 1 John 4. I got Ephesians 5, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, there's plenty of them.
That's why he came, guys. Not correcting you. I didn't drive up here to spank you. Came up here to say, this is who we are. This is what he paid for. And I'm going to be bold. Nothing else is Christianity. If you're living up and down, you're missing the truth. It has nothing to do with your circumstances, nothing to do with your loved ones. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not your present circumstances, the hope of glory. Not whether you got the job or not, your hope of glory. Not whether your son came home yet, the hope of glory. No, no, no. The Christ in you. You can replace that with anything you want, but it won't produce life. Come on, I'm talking straight right now. In fact, I don't usually even heavy hit. Like that feels like heavy hitting to me, but it feels confident in my heart that you guys can hear this. I'm not saying it because you can't hear it. I believe I'm saying it because you can hear it. Come on, we have too many reasons, if we're not careful, why we can't be okay. And we have one that says we have to be, if we believe. So wonder if this thing all boils down to what you believe or what you don't believe. Wonder if your life is a product of what you believe and don't believe. Wonder if it has nothing to do with your circumstances, how you respond to them, how you evaluate them, how you interpret them, how you respond to them. Wonder if this all boils down to believers and unbelieving believers, meaning people that believe Jesus died on the cross, but don't believe the transformation of life and the new motive in life and the new reason for being, the new why behind your life. See, everything has to change. All things become new. You can't wake up and confess Christ and have the same motives. You can't be touchy. If you're touchy, you'll be touched. A pastor for a long time, 8 and a half in a church, and then probably for another 8 and a half just because. Pastored a lot of people for a lot of years. I've seen way too much hurt in the church. I've seen way too many. Now, who's your pastors? Who else is a leader? Who counsels people? Who's in leadership and you do some level of counseling? I see a hand there. I see a hand there. Yeah, don't be ashamed of it. Okay, I see a hand there. Okay, I'm looking at your faces. Help me. I'm looking for encouragement here or set me straight. 90% of our counseling with people is people having trouble with people. True? What an indictment against us. When love takes no account of the wrong done to it, we mustn't be walking in love. We must be attending church. Wow, we must just be singing worship songs, praying over our food. And now I lay me down to sleep and bless me, Lord, and protect my travel and keep my kids safe and make my job go good today. That's not going to transform the world, and that's not going to transform you. That's going to keep self-centeredness alive. I just wonder if you are faced with challenges. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord will deliver you out of them all, but he said they're coming. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go thrown in a fire. He didn't put the fire out. He never put it out. I'm glad he didn't put it out. That would suggest the fire is the problem. He never put it out. The fire is not the problem. What they believe is the problem. Or the answer. And if you let the fire change what you believe, then you never believed. And if it's about your life and surviving, then you in surrender. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Right? Lay down your life. We sang it. We give it all. Let's give it all. Whoa. It's bad, ain't it? I got to get the handheld probably. It's just moving on me like a lot. Is this on, my friend? Do I have to hit a switch? Oh, it's on. It's hot. I'm not a crazy handheld guy, but I'll do my best. I'm almost done anyway. Probably I don't think you guys, I can't throw too much more out at you. I gotta be gentle. I'm just saying what's in my heart. I didn't come with a plan tonight. I just stood up here and this stuff just come ripping out of me pretty intense right out of the gate. It seemed like we came out swinging. Didn't it? I mean, it did. It just was there. It felt like exhortation right out of the gate. Like we didn't even warm up. I didn't even say, hey guys, I'm from York. Just drove up today. It was nice. I just. That's just how it seemed. Sorry about that. I didn't plan that. It's still in my heart intense. I feel like you guys can hear this. Can you do me a favor and just hold that for me? Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty secure if you'd want to go down in my pocket, but there you go. Thanks, buddy. I mean, I know we just met and all. Listen, the only reason we talk like this, the only reason I feel inspired to say this stuff, because it's exactly the conditions of the gospel. It's what Jesus said we need to see and know and yield to walk in what he paid for. Like the last thing the world needs is a whole bunch of confessing Christians. What would it matter if we fill every seat in every church on Sunday all across the country? I'm talking full house in every, a lot of happy pastors think that would be the answer. Woo-hoo! What was the tithes and offerings? Wow! And there'd be a lot of thinking it was great. But it might not change the world one little bit. Attending church doesn't change the world. Walking in love does. Walking in love changes the world. You can fill this church and you can come here for 50 years straight and never miss a Sunday and actually serve a ministry and help the ball roll. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's a meeting place. It's a place where we're supposed to gather to stay sharp, stay focused, and stay stirred up in love and good works. That's why we're supposed to come here. Not because you're a Christian, you ought to go to church. It's to stay in the race and stay in it together. To see that there's an army here. And then we have a like faith and we're believing the same thing and we keep people cheered on. And if one of us starts falling into, well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, he should have never. Well, my wife's been. And then one of us can pull them aside because we've been together and we have relationship. See, if I know you and you're my friend and you start talking like, well, you wouldn't even talk like that if you knew me and were my friend. Because it would already be established. And it would be a conviction in your life. But if you would start talking like, oh, if you talk like that, man, we'd be driving in the car. I'd say, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? Well, didn't you hear what she did? I'm not even interested in what she did. I'm concerned by why you're letting what she did waver you so much and move you so far from Christ. Because that's the only thing that's going to change anything in your life. And then I would take him right back to Christ. And I'd want to know why he's letting one person called his wife dictate who he is and how he is and not Jesus. And then you're only going to sell that to somebody that's hurting, to somebody that understands your pain. And then they're going to feel like sympathy and you're going to call it compassion. And then they're even going to pray over you and make it feel real spiritual to your heart. You still leave with offense and you still have them judged and they're still the reason you're not okay. And it sounded Christian, kinda. The last thing I need you to do is sympathize with what I've been through and why I'm hurting over it. I need you to tell me why I can be more. If he heals the brokenhearted, then why are we so broken in our hearts? I wish we would teach people how they can never be broken again. You don't even have to believe me. I'm not popping off. I'd be destroyed by now if I was up here just trying to look impressive in front of you for a weird moment. I don't even know what broken heart means. My life's not my own. My wife was in identity crisis for 8 years. I was a full-time pastor. She wouldn't even come to church. I couldn't even help her. She'd look at me and say, well, you're supposed to tell me that. She's believing one lie that people say hi to her because she's with me. That's a good way to trash your value. And she believed everybody that cared for her was rhetorically talking and doing it because she was my wife. Damaging to your identity. And I ministered to her and talked to her and tried to get her out of it, encourage her. 8 years. People say, 8 years. I say, look, don't let time change truth. Truth shouldn't be changed by time. Well, you don't know. It's been a long time. Wonder if God said that concerning your salvation. Wonder if God said that concerning your surrender. Wonder if God said that concerning your obedience. Well, they sure run me through the mill. I've been waiting a long time. They sang a lot of songs and ain't done a lick of it. They've been at the altar 12 times and they backslid 13. I don't know. They always vow and say they're never going to, and they do by the 3 days later. Wonder if God was exasperated by us and let time change truth and let love fail. Let's make sure we don't take for granted who God is and start becoming the beauty of who he is. Don't take for granted who God is and think, oh, he'll just always be there because that's God. He's that way and he created us to be that way to represent him on the earth. Let's stop seeing ourselves apart from him. Let's see ourselves one with him. Are you with me? She wouldn't even come to church. I was a full-time pastor. So when I tell that story, I do it on purpose because I know how people tend to think. They think that's pressure. That's a lot of pressure. That's, how could you do that? She went, would you say my wife was in trouble? Would you say she was deceived and in trouble, believing lies? Would you say that she really does need Jesus? Well, guess where he lives? In me. So now probably ain't the time. No, now definitely ain't the time to be a hurting husband, frustrated husband, calling for counsel. If she don't change soon, can't hold up much longer. Got enough on my plate already. Oh, I've been around us. I know how we think and talk. I've heard all that in my offices. I've heard all those lines and none of them are the truth. Unless you let them be. They're only the truth if they're the truth for you. But I promise you, they ain't the truth in Christ. Could you imagine Jesus talking like that? Then why is it okay if we do? If as he is, so are we in this world. Are you with me? I do not want a reason to not look like him and have it be good enough to live by. So what do? You just love your wife. You're not needy, remember? So for 8 years, I'm living kind of like married / single. Can't connect. She feels condemned. She gets super introverted. But we're married, but we can't connect. We're in the same home, can't connect. No life in her, discouragement. The longer it goes, the more condemned she feels. She doesn't talk about it. And she's living in this hole, like this quiet place. Man, you should have compassion for her, not frustration. But if she's your wife and 50-50 and we're in a marriage, she's putting a lot of pressure on me. She ain't doing nothing she vowed to do. I can only take so much. God doesn't expect me to. And how long am I supposed to? You see, that whole line of thinking is selfish. It's you thinking for you in the face of the facts. It's not you thinking for her. It's you thinking for you. Come on. You see why I'm so militant and so aggressive? Because I walk through this stuff. You don't know this, but both my children were making the worst decisions of their life at the same time. Is that because I'm a terrible father? No, it's because they were fleshing out their own desires and walking out their own life and working out their own salvation, which wasn't too evident at the time. So if I'm a personal guy and I'm self-centered, now it's just about me, must be a bad dad, certainly a lousy Christian, can't even lead my family. I'll tell you what would have been not a good Christian, if I'd have let where my family was decide where I was. And if I'd have let them become the reason for me being whatever it is I was. But being an example and teaching your children in the way they should go is when you don't budge, you don't move, and you don't change no matter what. And they don't see you yelling at her, meaning their mama. And they don't see you changing. And they don't see you angry. They don't see you down and out. They don't catch you crying in a back room. And they don't hear you making a phone call for help. They just see the same Jesus in your eyes that was always there. Because I promise you, he's still there. But self-centeredness just takes that away. It's a wretched, rotten, terrible thing. Self-centeredness. It's bad. There's no selfishness in love, and there's no love in selfishness. If Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself, then selfishness must be the biggest problem on the planet. If it's what he said, so think about this. What sin is committed that isn't coming out of the foundation of self-centeredness? What emotion that's counterproductive isn't coming out of self-centeredness? Like anything we've lived that's counterproductive has all been allowed to live because of self-centeredness at the foundation. Did you have to learn to be angry? Did you have to practice to be jealous? Did you have to study and stay up late to be discouraged and get and master it? Did it just come natural? Why? Because every one of us was selfish when we were born. You have a toddler that can't even speak English, and they're expressing it. No, mine, Do you ever see a child swipe at a parent? Ooh. Do a left hook. Just get so pent up, turn colors they ain't supposed to be. You take their little sippy cup, and they ain't done with it. And you think they're demon-possessed. Self-centered. Nobody had to teach them. They were born that way, and you must be born again. So if you're going to be born again and come to me, you have to do something. Deny your... So you can't incorporate Jesus into your life. He has to become your life. Are you all with me? Nobody ever taught me the gospel this way. They just told me that I'm a sinner and Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins. But they left me with the impression that I'm always a sinner. I'm always going to sin. I'm always going to have sin in my life. And I ought to be glad that Jesus died because he'll make it all right when it matters. And that left me a hopefully forgiven sin. Phew! Now, I never heard you preach the gospel when I was young because you weren't around. And you might have told me, but nobody ever told me what I told you tonight. But when Holy Spirit told me in my bedroom in 1995, it was on. And I knelt when you weren't looking, and I gave me to him. And that's what took me through those 8 years. And that's why I don't have a statistic. That's what took me through my children making some crazy bad decisions. That's what carried me through everything that ever happened in my life and ministry and stuff. I gave up myself so that in the moment, Jesus could shine. Two serious car wrecks I was in, not at fault. They blew through stop signs, shattered our cars. My children were in the one with me. We had to break ourselves out of my side. We couldn't even get out of their side. And we were in a little space, just enough to be all right. And you bust out of there and you pull your children out and you say, hey, everybody's fine. Listen, we were in an accident. It's okay. Things happen. Jesus is Lord. And you're teaching your children how to not fear and be freaked out, where this becomes our saga, our story, and another episode in the days of our lives. All over Facebook, look what happened to me. 1,000 pictures of my car from every angle. Nope, just one distressed Spanish boy that's 19 that doesn't have license or insurance and shouldn't have been driving, with a car as smashed as ours, looking at me in despair, wondering if he killed anybody. And I smiled and said, listen, buddy, are you the driver? Nobody in the car? Nobody else? Nobody. You the driver, though? Yes. He's looking down at the ground. Listen, man, you know you blew the sign, right? But look at you. Look at us. Look at your car. Look at my car. He's looking. No, no. We're all right. Look, I don't know if you believe in Jesus, son, but we sure do. And I hope you do, because he's king. But I need you to do something with me tonight. Lift your hands with us as we thank him for our well-being and thank him for the grace that protected us. See, if you're not selfish, you're like, what grace protected you? If grace protected you, you never had an accident in the first place. Now you got the headache, the inconvenience, insurance probably going to rob you, and now you got to go through it. Well, I've been around us. No, you better believe there's grace. God never said I wouldn't be in an accident, but he said I can shine if there was one. He said the Christ in me is the hope of glory. Not the Christ I talk about, the Christ in me. Not the Christ I read about, the Christ in me. Not the Christ I sing about, the Christ in me is the hope of glory. The hope of manifesting God. That's what that means. So you pray with that little Spanish boy. You lift your hands in the street, the police are coming and people are coming, and it's just something to just go through things in Jesus. We made it to our home. We were in the garage. My wife gave us triple hugs because she knew we were in an accident. So if the boys were out and you got a phone call and then he said, look, we're okay. And then when they come in, you know what you'd be doing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you'd be chiropractic adjustment, every one of them. Squeak, my wife picked me up. I don't even know if she can lift me. She picked me up. Little exaggeration. But she squeezed my boy. Oh, my goodness, she squeezed my boy. And then my daughter come behind us. So I'm heading upstairs. My wife standing there talking to her. She said, Mommy, she's little. She said, Mommy, you don't understand. We were in a terrible accident. Like, terrible accident. Like, you can't even recognize Daddy's vehicle. And she said, I was always see those vehicles sitting out on flatbeds and in front of schools at prom time. And I was standing, they couldn't see me. I'm standing eavesdropping and listening to her. She said, Mommy, I was always so afraid when I'd see those kind of cars. And I'd think that would be the most fearful thing to be in an accident like that, because it would just go through me. You know how that is? You see a car smash and you think, oh, somebody was in there. She said, Mommy, we were in an accident just like that. She said, but Mommy, I couldn't be afraid. I couldn't even be afraid. Watch. She said, I kept looking into Daddy's face and just knew everything was okay. And then I run to my bedroom and cry for 3/4 of an hour, because that ain't possible without him. But it is possible with him. So you can't talk me out of it. It's like, wow. So after that, I'm in another one. Brand new truck. Three people got together and bought me a vehicle. It was about three people. It might have been a couple more, but it was three main people said, you need a new vehicle. I said, I don't need it. It's one of these people of prayer. You know, they come around, you know, they've been praying. They're like, hey, I heard the Lord. I said, you heard the Lord? What'd you hear? You need a new truck. I said, you didn't hear the Lord. I love my truck. My truck's like an old pair of shorts that you don't want to take off. You know what I mean? They just fit. You know, my truck, 13 years old, you ain't taking my truck. And they said, oh, no, you need a new truck. She didn't hear the Lord. She said, well, I heard so-and-so's name and so-and-so's name, and I called them, and they were both hearing the same thing in prayer. I said, whoa, wait. You're in the room, you're praying, you heard I need a new truck, and two names came to your heart. You called them both, and they both said, we're doing the same thing. But she said, yes. I was like, don't even touch me. I was like, just back away. I just have fun with them. Who knows this stuff's possible when you have a relationship with Jesus? So they get together and they get me a new truck. So I drive off a lot with a new truck. 3 months later, I'm going through an intersection to go preach the gospel. The lady didn't realize there was a stop sign. She saw the traffic turning into the medical center and she forgot there's another direction. I'm coming down. She hit the gas thinking, oh, everybody's turning. I can shoot across. But she didn't look my way. I'm right up on her. She shoots in front of me and I'm right up on her. So I'm like, whoa, I sat up on my wheel and I saw a passenger and I said, oh, Jesus, because I didn't want to T-bone him because he's passenger. So I jerked my wheel as hard as I could. It's like an amusement park ride for 2 seconds. Who's ever been in something like this? A serious accident. It's just that terrible metal sound. And then everything, like it was like when Dorothy's house in the Wizard of Oz lands. It was like, and everything's white. And I'm like, Jesus? Jesus? Jesus, you know what it was? It was my airbag. It was amazing. I had a brand new vehicle. It had an airbag. I never had a car with an airbag. So when it was imploding, I'm like a little kid anyway. When it was imploding, I remember seeing it coming. Just for a millisecond, I was like, airbag. I was like, whoa, airbag, poof. And then it plasters you, you know? So you're behind this big marshmallow. So I rip myself out the airbag and I'm leaping out of the car and I run to their car. Their car's in the middle of the road. Smash. My truck, I just washed it and waxed it. It was so pretty. It's sitting in the yard sideways and it looks like it's for sale. Unless you go around this side. And then it looks like it's scrap heap. Never looked at it. Just ran to their car. There's people in the car. See, that's where you better have good theology. That's where you better have a relationship with Jesus. You're an example to men. That lady feels responsible. Who knows that there's at-fault accidents? Who knows there's attorneys and liabilities and all that stuff on the earth? I wish that stuff wasn't in the church. Look, we say we're anointed. I'm not anointed to put more pressure on someone's shoulder. I'm anointed to take off that burden and the yoke from around their neck. I'm not anointed to make it tighter. I'm anointed to help them get free. So you love people. You run over there, little granddaughter's in the back. She was 13 because I asked. She's crying her little eyes out. I look at the man. I say, sir, I have to pray with you. I say, Jesus changes everything. He makes all things right. I gotta pray with you. I should pray. Father, I thank you. Pray for him. He's sitting there. I said, honey, come here. Sweetie, baby, come here. She doesn't know me. She's 13. She's, it's okay. Come here. Listen, it's just an accident. You're fine. Everything's going to be fine. I asked if they were grandparents. She said, yes. I said, come here. I said, it's very important you know Jesus in your life. I took the time to just minister Jesus to her, a real Jesus, because it's all going to get really real in a minute because they don't even know what's happening right now. Well, you'll understand. I'm hugging her and I'm talking to her about Jesus and him in her life. And I start praying and I say, see, there's this peace. And she's like, oh. She's just like right there, just like a little puppy. And she doesn't even know me. But you'd think I was her grandpa. And I ease her onto the seat and I say, is your grandma? Yeah. I said, I got to go pray with her. She said, okay. So I run around. I said, hey, you. I really need to pray with you, okay? I just want to pray and believe you'll never have any repercussions, any pains, any... And she's just staring out her shattered windshield at my truck that has a temporary tag in the window because it's only 3 months old and I didn't get my official yet. That's how it works in PA. So she knows it's a new vehicle. Well, it looked new on that side. She goes, oh no, it's a brand new truck. I hit a brand new truck. And I said, well, honey, it's okay. It's a truck. Come on, you're what matters. You're okay. They're okay. I said, it's a truck. She looked at me. I mean, it was like, you don't understand. That is a brand new truck. And I'm like, what am I missing here? That is a brand new truck. And that driver is going to be so mad at me. And I said, honey, I am the driver. And she fell on my shoulder and said, oh, God bless you. Because she's screaming at me, little granddaughter's in the back. Wah! She's crying again. I said, can I get in your back seat? She said, yeah. I get in the back seat. The little girl heard me say, can I get in the back seat? When I opened the door, she's already crawling. I crawled in. She crawled right on me and laid on my chest like she knew me for her whole life. And she met me in the scene of an accident. And I got a 13-year-old girl laying on my chest like she knew me her whole life. It's called the love of God. It's called the Spirit of God in people. He's very attractive, especially in moments like that. And I just rocked her and held her. And I talked about God loving her and loving me. And that's why I'm okay and all this. And I explained some things to her. And then I had to go because the policeman was there. I had to use a phone. I had a 19-year-old emergency worker. He's just part-time. He can't do full-time. He's going to go on full-time at 21. He gives me his phone because I didn't carry a phone. I call. I get a ride. I make things right. I talk to the policeman. And we're talking. He said, wow, so she just blew the sign. I said, yeah. I said, man, it happened. Everybody was turning. I said, but it's all good. We're all okay. I said, I got to pray with every one of them. I said, I prayed with him, with her, with the little girl. And he looked at me. He's just watching and listening. And he said, boy, you sure have a really good attitude about everything. And I said, come on, man. I said, what else am I? He said, oh, I could give you some options. Like, so what he's telling me is, I don't see nothing like this. But how many people has he had accidents at that go to church? Oh. The other accident, the paramedics came in the house that I went into to make sure my children were being cared for. They came in looking for me because the policeman said I needed medical attention. They came looking for me. Most people think I need medical. And they came in and he said, we're trying to find the driver of the black truck. And I said, that's me, guys. I'm right here. Sorry, I didn't mean to run away. I said, but it's me. He said, sir, this is no time for jokes. The officer said he needs medical attention and we need to find him. What do you do? I'm like, you're that emoji with the crazy. You're like, I said, sir, I don't mean to cause trouble. I don't know. I'm the driver. I'm sorry. I'm the driver. And he rolls his eyes, sighs, and looks at his partner. And then I went, oh, I get it. Oh, my goodness, sir. You don't think I'm the driver because of my countenance, my disposition. Because I was just like I am right now. We had to bust out of our car. Guys, that's impossible. You can't act that way unless it's in you. You can't just try to apply a sermon you heard after the metal crunches. You have to be in fellowship with him, and he takes over your life, and you live in the supernatural without trying. Because you see something in prayer, and it becomes your reality in everyday life. Because if I'm trying to act this way, it's phony. But if I am this way, it's frustrating to a paramedic who's never seen anything like it. So guess what he told me? I said, you don't think I'm the driver because of my countenance, my disposition, it's throwing you. He said, sir, I've been to over 1,000 accidents in my career. And if you're telling me you're the driver of that vehicle, which we had to break out of, he said, I have never seen anything like this in my life. And I thought, wow, that's a shame because he's in 1,000 accidents. There's been Christians. And I smiled and I said, well, I can explain everything, sir. That's exactly what I did. I just smiled and said, well, I can explain everything. And I explained everything. And he's looking at me cockeyed. How can he debate with what he's seeing? Proof's in the pudding, right? Don't tell me that didn't mark him. So then he comes over for me to sign the discharge release sheet because I refused to go to the hospital. I said, I'm fine. He got me to sign. And then he did his spiel. He's trained. Now, remember, you were in a high impact, blah, 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 and there's a lot of adrenaline and da-da-da, and by tomorrow morning you're going to have, and you probably won't, and everywhere, and you're just... And I'm like, whoa, 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 what are you doing right now? Buddy, you're doing your, like, end of the accident speech. Remember what I told you why I am the way I am? I said, this is exactly how it's going to be in the morning. Like, exactly. And he cocked his head and looked at me, and he said, this is exactly how he said it. He said, you know, I believe you. He said, it's been a real pleasure meeting you, sir. And I said, God bless you. Likewise, thanks for doing what you do and helping people in times of need. I just appreciate you guys. And they're like, what? See, I know this stuff's possible. But I didn't try that. I became that when you weren't looking. I became that when you weren't looking. In prayer, with my door closed. See, that police officer said, you have a good attitude. I said, I don't have any other attitude. He said, I give you. Watch this. 3 months later, I'm in a healing service down the southern end of the county. Healing service. Church laid out like this. Two sections of pews. I'm preaching my great message. Probably wasn't even talking about healing. Talking about this kind of stuff, because that's where healing is. Man back about where you are in the black, sir, that told me you counsel. He was right there. Right there with a friend. He stood up while I'm preaching. And I thought, oh, bless his heart, he's got back stuff. I thought, he's got to stretch his back. We'll pray for him here soon. He can't sit much longer. And then it just felt weird. He's just standing there, and I'm like, I said, sir, I was thinking you just had a hurting back or something, but do you have something to say? Do you want to say something? Are you standing up to comment? He said, I'd love to comment. I'm like, I took a risk. I got the mic. I took the risk. You got to be a strong personality if you're going to let people just freely talk. If you have to adjust it, you got to adjust it kindly without, you know, but you can't, you got to adjust it. So I said, I took a risk and I said, so what's on your heart? What's your comment? He said, were you in an accident back in early April on such and such? And I said, yes, sir, I was. He said, I didn't expect you to recognize me out of uniform. He said, I said, what? Nah. I said, I see it. He's like, I'm the officer. Now you're going to love this. This is ridiculous. Look, this is stuff that you can only make up and write fantasy stories about. So you just never know who you're touching, especially if you're not trying. You're just being real. And people know when it's real. And they know when you're trying. Whoa. This story's ridiculous. This officer says, he says, people, because I was at a healing service, I preach a lot of this kind of stuff because I want people to live accountable and conscience alive. And I want them to live out Christ and not just try to be healed, but live Christ. And healing's amazing. We're going to pray for the sick in a minute. But watch this. He said, people, I said, comment. I get this live infomercial. He says, people, I want to tell you this man is telling the truth. And I'm like, whoa, yeah. He said, I was the officer at a scene of an accident that this man was in back in April. He said, and his disposition, his demeanor, I had personally never seen anything like this in my life. And it became evident he was a God-believing man, a Christian, quote, man. He was praying for people, and you couldn't even tell he was the one in the accident. He said, what you don't know about me is this is my first time ever coming through the doors of a church, and I'm 40 years old. He said, I was touched wrong at 8 years old by a Christian, a man that said he was a Christian. And in my 8-year-old mind, I thought, okay, if that's a Christian, then I don't want nothing to do with it, never will have nothing to do with it, and will never be around it. So he said, I held on to that all these 40 years until I met that man. And I'm just standing up here like, this is a good testimony. He said, and when he left the scene, I couldn't get him out of my mind. And I kept thinking, you know, I was told that was Christian, but I think I just saw a Christian. I think I just met a Christian. And I think I had, this view was rash because of the trauma, the bad thing that happened. I just met a Christian. He said, I couldn't get it out of my mind. He said, now my whole life, because of what happened to me when I was 8, I would avoid church. I'd make fun of Christians. I was anti-Christian. He said, I got diagnosed with a condition and it was serious. And my friend here said, hey, I just drove by a marquee sign at the church right down the road. It said a healing service. And I don't know what's going on in there. I don't know what a healing service even is, but hey, we got nothing to lose. Let's just go in, sit in the back. And if it's weird, we'll leave. It ain't the first time people went under those conditions. Hello, people in the back. No, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He said, I would have normally laughed that man right out of the car for suggesting that I go to that church with him to the healing service. He said, but because I met that man and it wouldn't get out of my mind, as soon as he suggested it, I didn't hesitate. I said, let's go. He said, then I walk in, first time ever in my life going into the doors of a church. I walk in, I look up, and it's the very man standing in the front. Now, you can't make that stuff up. This is absolutely bizarre. Now, watch. Little convicting, but watch. What would it matter if I'm praying, if I'm tithing, I'm attending church, and I'm serving in a ministry, but I'm in the accident, and I fall apart, and I don't manifest Christ, and I'm all bewildered, and I'm frazzled, and I'm no example to no one. And then my circumstances finally get back together, and I'm back in church. It's in the moment of your life, in the moment, in Shadrach's moment, in your moment, where you need a solid belief that manifests truth in Christ. When you're betrayed in your life, if you live betrayed, you don't understand what I'm preaching. When you're betrayed and you don't live like you're betrayed, you understand what I'm preaching. When you're done wrong and you live done wrong, you don't know what selfless means. When that becomes your story, becomes the thing you tell all your friends and you repeat it 20 times so it becomes you. And all of a sudden what you've been through is you instead of what he's been through is you. Come on, I come to bring it straight tonight. I've realized that after I started because I thought, whoa, this is intense. Got the new pastors right on the front. I was like, dear Jesus. No, I was preaching. I thought, this is intense. But you can hear the truth in it. You can hear the life in it. Look, guys, you're so young. Your lives were made to matter in such a way that the way you live your lives touch and affect others' people's lives. So at the end of your life, because you lived it in Christ, a whole bunch of people that otherwise may have never saw Jesus saw him because you lived him.
You get it?
Or, you can get a little insecure, take things personal, and get hurt, and he said, she said, and well, you know, well, they should never, well, I don't know, well, whatever. And you can do all that if you want to. And be self-conscious, self-centered, and self-focused, and never produce life. That's your choice. The difference between believing and not believing when you stand before the Lord. I don't think it's did you pray the prayer or not. I think it's did you live the life or not? Because you know them by their... I read the book. Fair enough? So watch this. There's not one thing I preach tonight that you can't live and pursue living if you wrap faith around and go after it when nobody's looking. There's not one thing you can't start praying about and asking the Holy Spirit to help you with. Get your eyes off of everything around you that's trying to dictate who you are and how you are. You don't need anybody around you to change for you to live what I preached. No one to change. You don't even need anything to go your way. That's what's so amazingly powerful. Yeah. When the car crashes, I'm not a man with a problem. I've always been a man with an answer. I have a response. That's why I don't have a reaction. Because I already see who I am before it happens.
You get it? Come on. Yay.
It just sure beats being flabbergasted and puzzled and spiritual charades. Now, why did I have another accident? What is God trying to, and how come, and what opened this door, and why is the devil, and I wonder why? And now I'm in this self-conscious, self-centered, self-focused whirlwind that isn't even manifesting Christ the whole time I'm thinking. Be careful with that stuff. It's just simple. Life comes, life happens, Jesus is Lord. And the Christ in me is the hope of glory. Duh. Glory means any manifested, realized attribute of God. Any seen or made known attribute of God is the glory of God revealed. Fair enough? So the Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. What did the police officer get? The manifestation of Christ in me. What did it do? Break the lie off of him from 8 years old. Did he need ministry or did he need truth? You could have prayed for him for the rest of his life, but until he sees truth, he hasn't got freedom. It's truth that makes you free, not prayer. And I'm not against prayer. I just think we misuse prayer for self-centered reasons. There's a place for ministry. It's not the answer. Truth's the answer. You youngsters waking up every day knowing your life matters already because of the gospel. No matter how anybody treats you, no matter what anybody's done wrong to you. Because here's the deal. If people loved God and knew God and were filled with God, would they do the bad things they do? Would people do the insensitive things they do if they were filled with Jesus? Well, that should make us hurt for them, not get mad at them. That should make us show mercy towards them, not get frustrated. Because if they really knew who they were, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. We should care about that, not get angry. Why is it so easy to cry for ourselves instead of cry for others? Because we've been tricked into self-centeredness. So I drove up here tonight, and obviously I'm just going to close with this one. Let's pursue denying ourselves and what it really means. And let's pursue picking up our cross and following Jesus. What's picking up your cross? Don't let the things that are happening to you or around you dictate who you are or who's in you. Don't let sin against you give you the right to produce sin in you. Overcome evil with good. Carry your cross and follow him. Don't just pray to him your need list. Don't just sing to him in corporate worship. Don't just now I lay me down to sleep. Carry your cross and follow him. Are you with me? All right, good. Fair enough. I'm going to pray just a simple prayer, but I believe there's grace on it. We'll do something real quick. Hopefully we can get away with it. Is it way too late? Am I blowing my time? Am I way out? Am I way out of bounds? It's 9:03. I feel late. Man. You guys okay? Say by faith. Yeah. I'm okay. No, there's nothing condemning. It's life-giving if you live it. If you live it, it's freedom. Here's the raw truth. Nobody's free until they're free from themselves. If you're holding on to selfishness, you'll never know what freedom is. Because self-centeredness will always have an adverse effect. It'll. See, people say, well, God gave us emotions. No. God didn't give you the emotions you and me grew up with. Adam gave us those. They all sprung out of a self-centered wellspring. How else could Colossians tell you to put off anger? See, the world says to manage your anger. That's hypocrisy in the church. Manage your anger? Okay. I got a little issue with Seth, but I ain't going to let him know. You know, I mean, he just rubs me in this one way. And he just says, hey, Seth, how you doing, bud? Yeah. You doing good, man? Cool, bud. Hey, you the man. But I managed my anger, didn't manifest it. Nobody knows. Everything is cool. No, that's called hypocrisy. You don't manage your anger. You put it off. So that means anger is unscriptural. It's not Christian. Yeah, but angry and do not sin. Well, what's that mean? Well, you'd be angry and moved over topics, but never at the expense or cost of someone or their identity. People say, well, Jesus flipped the money tables over. He was angry. He wasn't angry at people. He hung on the cross for all those people. He was proving a point. He was zealous for his Father's house. He wasn't angry at men. He was attacking a motive and a way they were living, but he gave his life for them. Don't mix that up. Don't muddy that up. Don't justify your attitude and try to find Jesus angry one day. Oh, he was angry, so I'm going to be angry. It's weird. Don't do that. Who can tell me you were angry and you were just feeling great about being alive and it was just having the time of your life when you were angry? It was just, man. And the seeds of God were just sprouting out of the ground, man. Just full bloom, kingdom everywhere you looked. Angry. Heaven on earth. Isn't it amazing how we'll justify things that never produce life? Let me pray something over you. So, Father, I just thank you for grace in this house. Man, strong, straight, no-nonsense word. About a lot of topics, even past trauma stuff, things. And God, you know everything. Let the truth of who we are in you so supersede the memories, the remembrances, and the real actions that have happened to some of us in this room. God, I just thank you for your grace in the gospel. I just thank you that you bring salvation and change to our lives. Would you grant grace tonight and faith in the hearts of everyone that was here to begin to receive that change and walk in it? I would just say like never before, and let's manifest Christ together. I ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was preaching like a madman on the past one time in a service, and I was so vehement, and I felt bad. In my mind, I was like, this is too strong, and it wouldn't slow down. The intensity was there. The words came. I could hear just these words coming, and I just preached without taking a breath, and the whole time my mind was going, no. And this little girl began to seize and manifest one row behind me. In the second row, and she began to just vomit everywhere, which I don't like. And I was like, and I kept preaching. People ran to her aid. I said, no, leave her alone. God's doing something. She's fine. I just forbid anybody to go near her. She's fine. Holy Spirit's doing a work. She's fine. Just let her go. I just got everybody away. And I just kept preaching like a madman. If I knew her story before I was preaching, I'd have never been able to say a word. But I didn't know her story, so I preached with clear conscience. So she had 11 siblings. She had 11 siblings. She was one of 12. She was from Guatemala. When she was like 6, she was walking her puppy in the jungle, and she heard all these screams and stuff, and she got back to her village, and she saw these bad men. Machetes and machine guns and stuff. They were anti-Christian. They were not good people. She's under a bush holding the dog's mouth, trying to keep it from barking, 6 years old, watched her 11 siblings, her mom and dad, get executed by these men. And we think we have trauma. And she's sitting in a service, and I'm preaching like a madman on not letting your past trump the truth of the gospel and not letting the trauma you've been through keep you from believing the new life you have in Christ, and make sure you can separate those two. And I'm preaching like in more intense than I had ever preached ever. Why? Because her story was the most intense story I'd ever heard. And if I had foreknowledge of her story, I'd have never been able to preach the way I was preaching. I'd have been so afraid. I'd have hurt for her. I wouldn't have even touched her with a 10-foot pole. And yet I'm up here like a madman, feeling like, no, this is too harsh. In my mind, thinking it's too harsh. She breaks down and loses it. At the end, I got to sit and eat lunch with her and hug her and talk to her and cry with her and laugh with her. And I asked her what happened when I was preaching. She said, I've been so mad at God. I've been living my life out of sorts because as I got older, I just blamed God for the death of everybody. And I was all alone. And I was just mad at God, and these people that brought me here started to minister to me and try to get my eyes changed towards God. And she said, and then you came and just poof. And she said, I was sitting here, and what hit me was that God has a plan for us. Our lives are on purpose, and there's a time to be born. And I covered all that in that service, apparently. And she said, but I was so angry because I always said that on that day I lost 11 siblings died. And she said, today I realized 12 died. And that was exactly what the devil intended. That here I am, still alive, could live my life for God and the will of God and go full bore for God because he keeps us all for eternity and just make the most of this moment. And yet I'm deceived, hurt, and angry because I lost my siblings and 11 didn't die. All these years, 12 have been dead. And she said, and it hit me and I realized and I said, oh God, I don't want to live as if I'm dead. I want to live as if I'm alive. And this, whatever was going on, she had some physical stuff. This manifestation happened. There was some demonic things through all her hurt and anger and some of the stuff she got into over the years. It was all settled in a peaceful 3-second vomit, couple shakes and a little uncomfortable noises. And she was fine. This is crazy. How truth can come and make you free. Her story is so intense. You think she would never be helped in 2 years of counsel. I'm talking like an insensitive preacher that doesn't understand what people have been through. That's what it sounded like to me. And God wrecked her and changed her heart and ministered to her. So I'm going to stick with truth. Are you with me? We say we pray for the sick. Can we do that? You okay if we pray for the sick?
Yes.
You good with that? Good. The youngsters up here. Let's pray for the sick. When you pray for the sick, listen, I want you to pray for the sick often, all the time. I can show you in Mark that if you believe, you lay hands on the sick. If you don't lay hands on the sick, then you just means you don't believe God's healing through you. Doesn't mean you don't believe he heals. You might think he heals through somebody. But if you're laying your hands on the sick, you believe he heals. You're functioning as a believer. The believer lays his hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So because we've prayed for people and they haven't recovered, we pull our hand back and then debate on what we believe. So we prove we don't believe because we pull our hand back. And the number one reason that I've seen that people don't pray for the sick is because they're afraid nothing will happen. So if you don't pray for the sick because you're afraid nothing will happen, then guess what you always have? Nothing, because you don't pray for the sick. Catch 22. So tonight we're going to do something sweet. New pastors, new leadership. It's rare to do what I'm doing tonight, except for it's going to be qualified. Plus, there's an authority. Who knows there's authority in the kingdom of God? And you guys gave me the mic, gave me the pulpit. There's an authority. Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. So we're going to do something cool tonight. I'm going to lead it. Keep it clean and sweet and directed and give you permission to do one little thing because it's going to teach you faith in your everyday life. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. And you wait and see what you see happen in this room tonight. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a whole lot of healing in this room tonight. And it's just going to be fun. Okay? Okay. And you can tell that I'm excited about that and that I'm not under pressure because I don't heal anybody. But if you know him and you know he's a healer and you understand some things, it's really exciting. Okay? So stick with me. When you pray for the sick, you'll find two things. A lot of different sickness, but two things. You'll find people that know if they were healed and people that won't really know because it's something that comes and goes, or it's internal, or it's on a picture. It's a woman thing in their ovary and they don't feel it, know it, but it's causing a problem somehow, some way, but there's nothing symptomatic. You all follow me? Something in your bloodstream, something that you have no symptoms. So there's two kinds of things you'll run into. People that'll know if their body changed and people that wouldn't have a clue other than faith in their heart, believing they're healed. Now, here's the cool thing about the ones that would know, because a lot of people think, well, that's the ones I want to pray for. They wouldn't know. We'll just say, hey, let's just pray for that. No, because it's the same faith for both. You have to be sincere. It's the same faith. You're not just pulling it off. You're believing God, right? So the people that have symptoms, don't be afraid of that. So if it says they shall recover and you pray for people, I've seen this in my life, my whole Christian life. I've seen people get instantly healed instantly. I'm sure we'll see that tonight. We'll see people get somewhat healed. They'll feel 50%, 70%, 85% better. And then we'll see things that don't seem to change at all right in the moment. I'm not afraid of the first two. I'm not afraid of the last one either. Why? Because faith isn't a point in time. Faith isn't a hit, miss, win, or lose. Faith is what I believe. It's the position of my heart to receive what he accomplished, and these signs follow those that believe. I'm laying my hands on the sick. I'm not afraid of nothing changing in that moment. I want it to change immediately. Who knows I want it to change immediately? Who knows that if nothing changes, I don't change what I see or believe at all? Because of that, I've seen countless people healed after the fact, a day, two, three, whatever, after my mom died, after other things, after a couple of my friends died of cancer. I don't run my mind through some gamut of natural reasoning. I shut it down. I found the truth through Jesus. I see scripture. I see his life, and I'm following him. I'm not following the death of my mom. I'm following him. I'm not offended at God, and I'm not following the death of my mom. I'm following him. Are you with me? I'm not getting my belief system from the way life has happened. I'm getting my belief system from Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. And if I don't look unto him and I start looking to the death of my mom, he won't finish my faith. Are you with me? So tonight I want to compel you to this. Settle your heart on this, that Jesus is Lord, that God is a healer, and that he heals through the finished work of Jesus. The name and blood of his son releases the power of healing on the earth. Just believe it and get yourself involved and start praying for the sick and don't change your mind. Is that fair enough? Okay, and we're going to keep it really simple. Who's ever prayed for the sick in here? Who's ever actually prayed for the sick? Okay, that's good. That's like mass majority. Now watch this. You'll chuckle uncomfortably because it's just true. Watch. Who prayed for the sick? And when I say this, you'll find that you've done this. You go to pray for the sick, all of a sudden you get self-conscious and you get more focused on what you're going to pray, how you're going to pray. You try to pray right, sound spiritual and powerful. You hear that? Who knows that I'm telling the truth? That's the best way to shut everything down before you even start. Why? Because that's works. It's not your prayer that heals the sick. Your prayer doesn't heal the sick. So if you're trying to pray right and powerful, then you think praying right and powerful is what brought the healing. Now you become a prayer warrior. Everybody needs you to pray. You ought to just open a prayer college. Watch this. Be made whole in Jesus' name is probably plenty if there's a revelation. Stretch forth your hand. See, get up and walk. You remember Jesus? He didn't. See, we're putting our confidence in our ability to pray. And we're trying to stir faith. And we think it's our prayer. It's not a prayer. The Lord told me to share this everywhere I go. Watch. Your prayer never has, never will heal anybody. That's good news. It's his finished work. And your simple faith in the fact that he loves people. Are you with me? So tonight, we're going to pull this off. It's going to be so awesome. So, well, the first thing we're going to do, let me just that first category. If you were healed tonight, you'd have no idea you were healed other than faith in your heart because you have no symptoms. You can't check your body. It's internal, comes and goes, something you're taking prescription for, but you really don't have any symptom. You know what I'm talking about? If you have something like that in your life and you want prayer, and please participate. Don't like just stay in your chair and say, oh, I'm not doing this. It's amazing what God's doing at the end of these services. Stand to your feet if you could. And just say, man, that's me. I got something in my life that if I was healed, I wouldn't know it in the moment, but I'd like it to get out of my life. Stand to your feet. Come on. Yeah, just stand to your feet. Don't even hesitate. It would be great if we're in these sessions. Look, we came this far together, man. Don't back out on me now. Just stand to your feet. I'm zealous, excited, and confident because I've lived this way my whole life. And in these services, this time here is phenomenal what God's doing. Like you people that just had faith to jump right up, you watch and see. I'm just telling you, I'm getting so much feedback. It's humbling and amazing how real God is and how much he wants to fix things. Yeah, so I'm glad you stood. Am I waiting on anybody? Come on, don't make me go fishing. I shouldn't have to go fishing. I'm actually a tremendous fisherman. But don't make me go fishing. If I'm waiting on anybody, just stand to your feet real quick. I'm not feeling anything specific in my heart. Sometimes I get discernment on stuff, but do I need anybody else to stand? You have something in your body. You just took a while to stand. You didn't stand yet. Thank you. Gotcha. I do feel like I need one more. Just jump to your feet real quick. It doesn't matter. Just stand up real quick. I feel like I'm waiting. Anybody got one more person that just has something in their life that if it was healed, you wouldn't know it? Gotcha? Good. I got bonus. Why would I wait when we got all these people standing and we could already pray? We could have moved. We could be done by now. Why am I waiting? Because it's real to me. And I don't want you to miss this moment because it's real. That's why we're waiting. Because if we were just doing a church thing and this was religious, we'd just do it and people feel warm in their heart and they hope they're healed. No, this thing is real. And he paid a price to make things right. If you're sitting near them, just somebody tap somebody that's standing and say, hey, we're believing for you. You can grab their hand if they'll let you, or just put your hand on the back of their elbow or something. Just be discreet. Don't smother them. Don't violate them. Just touch them. Just say, hey, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to believe with you. Okay? We're not even asking what they stood for. Here's all I want you to do. Did you find somebody? Did you get somebody? I want you to say this right now. Is somebody touching her? Nobody got to you? Come on, somebody touch him. Here's what I want you to say right now. Say, be, oh, thank you, Lord. Watch this. The people that stood, here's all I want you to do. I want you to believe this one thing. Oh, this is huge. I want you to believe one thing before we pray, that God absolutely has to love me or he'd have never sent his son. Keep it that simple in your life. Don't say, well, if he loved me, how come I've been going through this for the last 10 years and prayed 150 times? No, we measure God's love by life all the time. The measured stick of God's love is Christ crucified. And if that wasn't true, how could you get rooted and grounded in it? If life could change the fact that he loves you, then we could never be established. Are you with me? So watch this. The people that stood, one thing. I just want you to do one thing. Don't grit your teeth and call it receiving. I want you to do one thing. Believe he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. The people that are praying right now, just say this with me. Be made whole in Jesus' name. No more sickness. No more symptoms. No more reoccurrence. From this moment on, be completely made whole in the authority of Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Sounds too simple, but it's not simple. Jesus got beat beyond description, died, and raised from the dead to make what we just did possible. Don't ever think it's simple. Okay, sit down. That's good. See, we can't tell. We can't check because they wouldn't know. But you will know. And when you find out, when you do find out, when time tells, when the test comes, whatever it means for you to find out, let each other know. Share a testimony. Call the church and say, hey, I stood up on Friday night. Has nothing to do with me. Don't even say, Pastor Dan. Don't put on face, Pastor Dan came to our church and I got healed. Don't do that. I've been trying to stay away from that like big time. Because that's not, that Jesus is the healer. And we're keeping it simple and we can all live in faith and we can all walk this way. Okay, so that's our first group. What's our second group? You would know if you were healed. You would know. Is there anybody here that would like to stand for prayer, but it's hard to stand or you can't stand before everybody gets standing? Let me see. Is there anybody that can't stand or it's hard to stand, but you would like prayer? Anybody? I didn't see any wheelchairs or anything, but sometimes it's just there's people in the back with a walker, crutches or something, and I didn't see them. Is there anybody that can't stand that would like prayer that would be easier to just stay sitting? Okay. Here's what I need you to do. You got symptoms in your body. You got something going on in your body that's less than wholeness. And if you were healed tonight, you would absolutely know it. Without exaggeration, we're not going to have any music. I'm going to make the room as dry as we can. Oh, I am. Because it's simple faith through Jesus. If you're walking across the parking lot and you see somebody hurting heading to their car, you don't have the worship team in a little fold-out box. If you could just open that box and Dan's just already right there and his honey's just flowing, I mean, that would be a no-brainer. They're getting healed. But you don't have them in their little fold-out box. You just got you, your feelings, emotions, their look, their eyes, like, oh, brother, pray for me. Sometimes that's all you got, but it's enough. So if you have pain in your body, you have a symptom, you have a limitation, you could have something going on in your back, scoliosis, you could have ruptured disc, torn stuff, degenerated knees. You could have arthritis in joints that's evident and obvious, and you can find it if you look for it. I need anybody that fits those descriptions, that you have something tangible in your body that if you were healed, you would know it. Stand to your feet. We'd love to pray with you tonight. And we believe Jesus paid the price to heal you. Okay. Anybody else? Make sure you stand if it's you. Make sure you stand. Don't stay in your chair and don't play that thing with God like, well, if he calls out my situation, I'll stand. Just stand. Like, what in the world? Why would you do that? Yeah, good. Stand. Stand, stand, stand. I'm giving you a chance to stand. I got one person. It's your wrists. I don't know what it is. There's something going on in your wrists. It's a pain. It's a strong pain when you do stuff, when you lift stuff. There's a pain in your wrists. And I don't think you had been standing. So I need you to stand if you weren't standing. Or did you stand? Yeah? In his wrists? But he was already up. Okay, no, this was somebody that was sitting because I asked the Lord. No, that's good. What? And you stood up? Good. Gotcha. Is that fit your description? Good. That's exciting. See, now watch. All these people stand, and we could be praying. And God's calling out a woman with a wrist because he knows. And he's putting that in my heart, saying there's one person, you didn't stand up yet, and it's in your wrist. The trouble's in your wrist. I need you to stand. And boom, she stands. Why? Because it's real. Watch and see what happens to your wrist. No, it's just real. Why would I hear that? Okay. I got one more person. It's just one that I know of. It's your knees are degenerate and you didn't stand up. You've been that way a long time. Steps are a bother. It hurts you to just do normal functions. But for some reason, you stayed in your chair. I don't know if it's because you've been prayed for a whole bunch. You get up. That's you. So if you check your knees, it would normally hurt you if you'd go up and down stairs. So you see them sound booth stairs? After they pray for you, I want you to at some point check yourself out. Okay? So it's good. It's good. I think it's two people. I got two people. You still have arthritis symptoms in your body that you can find. It's the one person, it's mainly in your fingers. I think the other one's more in your hips and back. Arthritis in your fingers, it's not hard to find. You're still in your chair. You stayed sitting. I need you to stand. Whoever you are. Did you stand? Did somebody just stand? No? I need somebody to stand. I know when I hear this stuff, I get really confident. So I just see arthritis in the hands and joints, and you can feel it, and you didn't stand up for some reason. I saw it in the back and hips more, too. I think it's two people. Did I get anybody? Anybody? You were already up. Yeah, no, this has felt like it was somebody that didn't stand yet, and I felt like we needed to get you involved. Come on, real quick, I'm not going to wait long. Yeah? Which one are you? The back? And kind of in your hips a little bit? And you were told it was arthritis? Yeah. I still need my hands. Please stand up. You're going to get healed if you stand up. That's a pretty bold statement. Why would you stay sitting? Huh? Well, you're already standing? For prayer? You were never told you have any arthritis in your fingers, were you? Well, I do want you, do you have something that's bothering you though? Will you let us pray for you tonight? Good. Real quick, it's my last call. Does anybody relate to this thing I'm talking about? Some people, you'd be amazed how they vowed in their heart. I travel, I do this all the time, okay? So you learn. People just think, they think I'm never standing up in a prayer time again because I've never been healed. I'm not going through that again. Or they just vow for some reason not to participate. And I'm pleading with you. I feel like it's one of those situations. And I still feel like you're in here.
You think it's somebody in the nursery?
No. They're here. I wouldn't feel it this way. Okay. But your hand, you were ever told you had arthritis? Oh, they said you will. No, you will not have arthritis. No. But are you still recovering mobility and movement? Does that feel like when it was broke? But your other hand's fine? What's going on in your other hand? You don't have any pain, any stiffness, anything. Okay. But you are going to let us pray about this. And you weren't standing. Okay, good. Well, we got you anyway. No, that's good. That's still not my person. No, it's not. I know in my heart. So is my person going to stand up real quick or are we just going to move on? You say, Dan, you just missed it. Doing this way too long. I just know you're here. I just know you're here. It won't go away. I know you're here. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I need you. This is rare in a corporate service like this because we don't know everybody. But I'm going to give strong instructions and I need you to follow them. And I'm telling you, Jesus is Lord. I need you to follow these instructions and watch and see what God does in this room. So if you stood up for prayer, raise your hand, just one hand. It's not worship. You're just being located. The people sitting. Now watch this. The people sitting. Especially if you've never done this and you're nervous, I really want you on my team. Keep your hand up if you're standing. The people sitting, I need you to be my prayer team. I want one-on-one, maybe find somebody you don't even know. Introduce yourself, say, hey, I never did this before. But tonight, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to pray. That's it. And I'm going to show you what that looks like in a minute. And nobody has permission. You're not bringing in your background, ministry background. Long prayers, I don't want anything over 5 seconds. I'm going to kind of orchestrate this. There's a reason. Nobody's going to be self-conscious, self-centered, or bring ministry training in this. This is going to be the name of Jesus and faith in his name. Are you with me? And then it's going to teach you how easy it is to actually pray for the sick and be in sincere faith. Because you be at a car in a parking lot and you pray for somebody for 5 seconds, that's a relief to them. Some of them are just being nice to let you pray. And you pray for 5 seconds, whoo, and Jesus moves in 5 seconds, whoo. Just keep your hands up. I want you one-on-one. Just go find somebody. Don't pray yet. Just go claim them. Say, hey, you're mine. When they claim you, put your hand down. When they claim you, put your hand down. One-on-one, one-on-one till we get the room covered. And then if you want to tag team or gather around somebody, that's fine. But definitely one-on-one till the room's covered. Leave your hands up until you're claimed. Go find somebody with a hand up, people. Find somebody with a hand up. I got 3 men back there. Can somebody help me? Do I got any men that'll help me? Do I got a gentleman that'll go back and pray for these 2 guys? Anybody available? Can you go? Or do you already have somebody? No, go back there. They're waiting. There's a couple people back there. Or they already, you're still waiting? Yeah, he's waiting. See his hand up there? Yeah. Yep, go get him. Yeah, go pounce him. We got everybody? He's coming. There's somebody coming, buddy. He's coming. We got everybody. If we're missing anybody, go like this. We got everybody? Okay, now watch this. Watch this. Don't anybody pray yet. We're going to do this as a family together. It's going to be in the name of Jesus, okay? I want you to take 3 quick seconds, tell the person that's praying with you why you stood up. Give them the 3-second short version. Just tell them, I got arthritis in my back, or I got a herniated disc. My eyesight's not good. My hearing, I lost my hearing. Just give them a three second deal. Okay, you got it? Y'all got it? Y'all good? Everybody should know by now. Y'all good? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. In a couple minutes here, I'm just teaching and training because I want to empower you guys to continue to live this way and be encouraged to what simple faith is. So we're going to take 5 seconds. In a minute here, I'm going to say, okay, go ahead and pray. If they told you I have a herniated disc in my back, watch. Father, I thank you for your love for them. Disc, you be completely healed. No more pain. In Jesus' name. Right? Or you can just watch. Disc, you be completely made whole. No more pain, freedom of mobility. Thank you, Father, for your love. I just always acknowledge God's love. You don't have to. I just think people fail to receive God's love, so I acknowledge it a lot. They tell you the wrist was hurting. Wrist, you be completely made whole. No more pain, total mobility in Jesus' name. Who knows? We can touch this stuff in 5 seconds of faith and be sincere and trust that Jesus' cross is enough to bring the power of God. Who knows, we can start living this way and not make it about us, how long we pray, how powerful we pray in the name of Jesus. Just simple faith. You watch what happens in this room. It's fun. We're going to pray 5 seconds. Now, here's the deal. People completely healed. You'll know it if you're healed, but I don't want you to jump the gun. I want you to check. Take your time and really check. When you know that it's gone and that your body is changed, healed, and there's no more whatever was there, then I need you to let me know. Just go like this, and I'll be kind of coaching. If you were somewhat healed when they prayed 5 seconds, check it out thoroughly. I don't want snaps. I don't want exaggeration. That's called lying. I don't want you to look at the big brown eyes of the young youth group girl that's praying for you and say, oh, I can't possibly tell her I still have pain. That would just break her heart. No, I'm fine, honey. Lying. See, we need to learn how to walk out faith, not exaggerate the moment. See, we so live in a results-driven thing instead of a faith life. So if their body is somewhat healed, if your body's somewhat healed, you tell your person, hey, I think I'm 50%, really, 50% better. And they'll go, that's awesome. Father, thank you for that 50%. And then speak to the thing and pray the same thing you prayed before, that 5-second prayer, speak it over them again and check your bodies. Are you with me? If your body didn't change at all in the first 5 seconds, this is important. So I want you to cut off your head. If your body didn't get healed in the first 5 seconds, your head becomes your biggest detriment. And people go, oh, I've been around this. We go, I wonder what I'm doing wrong. Wonder why I'm not being healed. And if 4 people are already testifying and you're still feeling, I should have never stood up. I'm going to feel so stupid if I'm not healed. Something's got to be blocking my healing. I wonder what's going on. Stop tonight. Never, ever have permission to do that anyway. But definitely tonight. They gave me the mic. Okay, so watch this. You don't feel any change in your body. Keep checking and just knowing Jesus loves you, God loves you, and you never sent a son. I want you to listen to some testimonies. As you listen to a testimony, stay thankful and say, wow, man, I hear that. I see their emotion. That's really cool. Thank you that you're a healer and you love us so much. Wow, God, I appreciate that you're a healer. And just stay in a place of faith tonight. Don't change your mind. You watch and see what happens as we don't change our mind tonight. And Jesus will teach us that. Like popcorn. I use this phrase everywhere I go. Like popcorn in a bag. Bodies will just keep changing. And things will change. So I'm in service every weekend. I do a service every weekend. I'm seeing things that people had conditions for 20, 30 plus years change in 5 seconds. Why? They've been prayed for 1,000 times, but it's become rhetorical. They're not even expecting. It's just because they're hurting. Their family has prayed so many times. It's like, oh, and it's just, and if we can just get back to simplicity, God loves us and we can't produce this thing. We just believe he's this good and we pray sincere, boom. And we're seeing things change that were messed up for 30 years. Bible story stuff. Literally. We've got people doing things, spouses are crying and they're saying, they couldn't do that. There's no way. I'm like, well, they can do that. Yeah? So we're going to do this tonight. Are you ready? So you know what you're doing? You know what you're praying for. You didn't forget, right? Because I'm a teacher. I take a while. Okay, you want to look at your person with real warm eyes and make them feel like they're really loved? Or, I mean, whatever. Y'all good? You ready? So you know what you're praying for. Now watch this. Just 5 seconds, speak to the thing directly. The reason is, Matthew 17, you say to the mountain, and the mountain what? Moves. So in about 5 seconds, I'm going to say, okay, guys, wrap it up. And then you guys just start bringing it to a close. You don't have to just silence yourself. It's not a legalistic thing. I just want you to begin to wind it up after 5 seconds and come to a close in Jesus' name. Make sense? Okay, the people being prayed for, you know the Father loves you tonight because why? He sent his son. That's the reason you know he loves you. Not because of what you've been through, because of what he's been through. Y'all ready? You're going to give him the kingdom? You ready? And I'm not going to say anything. I know you don't believe this for 5 seconds. Silent. Are you ready? Give him the kingdom. Pray for him. 5 seconds. So good. Okay, begin to wrap that up. Go ahead. You can wind that down. Just wind that down. Thank you, Father. Just wind it down. This is just you guys getting involved, believing and praying. It's nothing. This has nothing to do with anything else but just us believing him. Okay, the people we prayed for, you begin to just knowing God loves you or you never sent a son. Just start checking your bodies all over the room. All over the room. Check your bodies. Really thoroughly check your bodies. When you know it changed, when you know you're healed, I need you to let me know. You just let me know. I need you to let me know. Check your bodies. Make sure. Yeah, I don't want exaggeration. Check them, whatever that means. I mean, when you find out you're healed, when you know you're healed, let me know. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. I see stairs back there going upstairs, checking. You guys are checking. Anybody finding out that they're changed yet? Anybody, anybody, anybody? You know for sure. Anybody else? Did you raise your hand? Are you changed? Yeah, back there? Anybody else? I got a couple here. Are you changed? Changed for sure. For sure. Good. We're taking it. See, we're not in a hurry. We're not under any pressure. I want this to be legit and real. You know you're changed? Well, no, we'll do that in a second. I'm just talking about your body's changed. You're healed. You know that thing's gone. You too? Okay, it's better. Let me see this. Let me ask this. Who knows that it's better for sure? You just didn't raise your hand because it's not 100%. That'll give us a real idea of just what's going on. Cool. That's a lot of movement. That's good. Pray with your person 5 more seconds. Would you just pray 5 more seconds? Is there anybody that you know you're completely healed? You were completely healed. Let me see you. Thought we had a couple. Oh, yeah? Okay, good. No, that's good. Okay, that's good. Just wrap that up. What's she crying for? Why is she crying? Can she can't, well, you, when she's ready, she can. She couldn't. You couldn't do stairs, honey? And you did them? You have no pain. You just went right up the stairs. And down. And you haven't been able to do that. When's the last time that you were able to do that? How long? Wow. And you know it's your body. And you just did it and it's changed. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Check your bodies for me. No, we're just getting rolling. I'm just telling you, God's going to do some things. He's going to teach us how to not let go here tonight. I can tell the grace that we're in. That's why there's a lot of things going on that seem like it's taking time. But we've been, who knows that we're notorious, like, for changing our mind in the moment, like weighing our circumstance and changing our belief. We got to learn how to lock into what we believe. Is he a healer? Yes. Well, then we stand on that. Amen. Check your bodies. Anybody else changing? Anybody else healed that needs? Yeah, for sure. Okay. Did you have it? Was it protruding out? It was. Oh, they're gone? That's all gone? You have no discomfort? Everything feels, you just feel like it's all gone. Right there. Okay. And that was something you would notice. That's something you could easily found. Okay. I'm just want everybody to understand because it's your story. And it went away. Beautiful. Anybody else? Check your bodies. What happened?
I prayed for my shoulder. I have like a
shoulder.
Okay. It's almost completely gone. The more I move it,
the better. Yeah, that makes sense. Was it limited? Was it hard to move?
Yeah.
Was there ways you wouldn't try to move it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, was it hard to do what? What was limited? What, or a lot of things?
Well, like this.
You couldn't do that?
Well, I could do it.
But it would hurt.
Now it's hurt.
It doesn't hurt at all.
Do it
one more time or so for me. How's that feel? Yeah? Straight up? Yeah. How about out like that? Was that a bother? You wouldn't have done that before without paying for it? Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. Guys, it's just simple, simple faith. It's you guys believing, hearing what you're being taught, acting on it, and God just doing things in the room. And then remember, there's a whole lot of other things that are kind of like better. They're just not 100% yet, so that's always exciting. Anybody else, you know you're healed. You want to share quick. It would be good to share. If you know you're healed, 100%. Anybody else? Let me see the hands of the people that still feel like they're, what, are you 100%? You are? Okay, why'd you take so long to let me know? I'm coming to get you. No, what? But you know. You're 100%. Oh, you got another thing you're waiting on? Okay, but that changed. What caused that? What was that? Okay. But you know it's different. Yeah? Anybody else feeling somewhat healed? You just didn't raise your hand because it's not 100%. I need to see you people again. Anybody else? Who's somewhat healed? You're just not 100%. Okay? Okay? Good. No, that's good. So when you're in the streets and you pray for somebody, or you're in a mall, or you're in a store, and they get somewhat healed, and they know it's their body, who knows that they're going to be excited about that? And who knows if you say, can I pray real quick just again, or do you have time, or just another 5 seconds? Who knows, though? I've never had anybody say no. And I'm not the brightest man on the planet, but better plus better plus better sooner or later equals what? Completely whole. So that's a good thing. Now, here's the last thing, and I'll let you all go because it's really late. Who here, we prayed for you. You listened to a few testimonies. We prayed the 5 seconds, but your situation's exactly the same, and symptomatically, it didn't change at all. It's the way it was before we prayed. Anybody? Keep your hand up. Let me know who you are. Is your person still here? Because you're not getting another person. Is your person still here? Your person's enough. Anybody? Keep your hand up. Is your person back there? Okay. Your person? Your person's here? Good. And I don't want anybody. This is where people tend to feel funny, focus on, or like, what am I doing wrong? It has nothing to do with that. When we let go of what we believe, that's when we start messing things up. So you got your people? Your person? Okay. Here's what I want to do. Now watch. Y'all got your people, right? Look around, guys, to help me with this. Raise your hands. This is who are we praying for. Nothing changed up until now. Let me see your hands. It's about 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's 12. 12 people probably. Okay, so we see about where you're at. Your person's going to pray for you for 5 more seconds. And let's just all believe together, church, that God just begins to move and change. And like I said, popcorn in a bag and just bring some things to light here. You all ready? Go ahead. Pray for your person for 5 seconds right now. The same prayer you prayed the first time. Don't change your prayer. Don't change your prayer. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Come on. Just 5 sincere seconds of faith. In Jesus' name. Okay, that's good. That's way over. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Now just know He loves you. Don't like, why ain't I being healed? Or why is this always happened to me? Or something's got to be blocked. Throw all that away. None of that is allowed in here tonight. All I want you to do is thank you, Father, for loving me, and thank you for making me whole. Start checking your bodies. That one group of people. What changed? Anybody changed somewhat? She did? A whole way? Noticeably. Or does it feel almost like the whole way? It's going. So up until that prayer, it was the same the whole time. And as soon as they prayed that time, it just left. Yeah, well, make sure. You would know. You're so funny. That's not a bad thing. Just watching you is cute. She's like, seems like it. So watch this. Nothing changed that whole time. So wonder if we draw a conclusion right before that last time we pray. Wonder if we change what we believe. Wonder if she says, oh, well, I guess all in God's perfect time. Isn't that what we say in the church? What's going on? Is it going? Yeah, but for right now, it seems changed. So before you didn't raise your hand because you were still feeling it. Right before that last prayer, it was easy to feel. And it's not there. Beautiful. And that was the last 5-second prayer. Anybody else? Check your bodies. I got like 12 people or so we're looking for. Did anything else change in any of you, of my last group? Somewhat? Somewhat? What can you talk about it? Is it?
Lump in my leg, and it was really big, and it was like the size of a nickel when they first prayed. Yesterday it was like this big. It was a nickel, and it's down to about a dime, or no, it's like a pea now, right? They felt it.
So you felt it before? We were in a service about a month ago. This lady took a picture of her wrist with her cell phone with a big nodule on it. It looked like a walnut shell under her skin. She took the picture. She said, well, if God's moving like this, I'm going to get a before and after. So she took the before. They prayed. The thing completely left. And she has the picture on her phone of just minutes before with the thing on her wrist. And then it completely left. It's just fun. You know it changed?
Yes, it's going up. Like, he was praying for it the last couple days. Okay.
And it was how big? It was that big. And she said it might be the size of a pea, like the very tip of your finger, but you can still feel it a tiny bit. That's exciting. So it went down all that way. I like it. I know it's late. Anybody else? Something changed in your body? My last group. Okay. Anybody else? Just somewhat? You're just feeling a little more relief, okay, no, that's good. Here's what we're saying about this. So whether it changed completely, changed somewhat, or little by little, or you don't notice it changed at all, look what just happened here. What's our response to this? What are we learning by this? When you leave here tonight, watch, a Christian only ever has one response. Father, thank you for what you're doing in my life. Your love for me is amazing. I just appreciate you making me whole. And you check your body as you head on out here. You go to bed. Thank you, Lord. You wake up. That's how your body changes. When you crawl in bed and the hip grabs you and you go, oh, man, I was hoping tonight would be my night. Man, I wonder when God's ever going to do this. I don't know why he won't heal me. You're just totally disconnected. But that hip grabs you and you're laying in bed and you roll over and you say, Father, I just so appreciate what you're doing in my life and the love that you have for me. God, I thank you for that young man that prayed for me tonight. And I just know you're doing a good thing. And you go to bed in faith and you go to bed thankful. That's how your hip changes. I have countless stories of people that walk out of services or get prayed for in the streets and they wake up or they go home or they're driving and boom, something changed. This person couldn't see and they were in their car driving and they were with somebody and all of a sudden they just started freaking out in the car. Like 20 minutes after they were prayed for, could read every sign, could see everything that they couldn't see 20 minutes before. So if you draw conclusions, we might miss what's happening because we believed. Are you following me? So nobody else in that last group, anybody else? I just feel like something else had to change there. Even while you're checking. Check. Anybody? Anything in that last group? Anybody? No? Yay? Okay. A little bit? Good. So, Father, I just thank you for what you're doing tonight. I thank you for healings. I thank you for our sister over there who's crying and be going up and downstairs like over and over and over and over and just thanking you. And I just thank you, God, for all these things that were testified and all these things that you did. But most of all, teaching us how to believe and how to keep on believing. You are so good. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm finally just going to stop. So love you guys. I think we're here tomorrow at 9.